the Hot Pass Podcast. You guys know what it is. We got our boy Harris Liu. We're going to become the best pals at the racetracks. As long as he shows up to the tracks, like Ryan Williams, he only shows up to like the Xfinity race of the Coke 600 weekend. He goes, I'm not showing up to anything else. You guys, I'm sure, are busy as hell all the time. Introduce yourself. Give like a background to yourself, and then I'm going to dive in and nitpick everything about you. And you always wear fire fits and are, I feel like we're low-key competing with each other without actually having a competition of who has the best fits on Sundays or all weekend.
Just trying to impress each other. That's the thing.
Oh, like, yeah. The sneaker game is fire between each other. Like, this is, we love our shoes.
Absolutely. So I'm Harris Liu. I'm one half of Liu Creative. Me and my business partner and now wife, Emily Liu, formerly Emily Butler. We broke out on our own about, 3 years ago now, and went full time with Liu Creative. It's a full service motorsports marketing agency. We can do anything from the coolest all over print t-shirt to a pitch document for a late model stock car driver trying to get a sponsor. I grew up in North Carolina in the Tobacco Road area of Raleigh, Durham. I grew up wanting to be a stock car driver. I've been in a NASCAR since I was 2 years old. My dad said that he could point at the TV in 94 and I could name every NASCAR driver on the circuit, you know, including Morgan Shepherd and Dave Marcus and guys that a two-year-old shouldn't have known about. But
people I've never known about.
And it's like, so, you know, I've been a NASCAR fan for forever, and I've been drawing cars since I could put a crayon to a piece of construction paper. So all through school, I got in trouble for drawing cars. I had a fifth grade teacher, Miss Tingen, who would purposely try to trip me up. Like I sat like two rows back from her from the projector, and she would catch me. And I was, you know, I was cocky. So I knew like I can also pay attention and draw at the same time. So she would try to catch me not paying attention when I was drawing, and she could never slip me up. And it got to the point where she just stopped trying to catch me, and she just come grab my car drawings and put them in the trash. And so my fifth grade teacher, Miss Tingen, took some awesome car drawings, because that was like 2002. So I was drawing like Too Fast, Too Furious cars and all kinds of crazy
stuff. Oh, yes.
But man, I realized in high school that I didn't really want to be an engineer. Automotive design was a passion of mine. So like designing actual cars from the ground up was something I thought I wanted to do. And then I realized how much math that took. And I was like, oh, well, I can just make the cars that exist pretty, or, you know, draw pictures of them or do things like that. And I was also doing logos for my classmates at the time. So my high school art teacher pushed me towards graphic design. So I spent 4 years at East Carolina, got a graphic design degree. Right out of college, went and worked for a Mustang parts company, which that's the other side of my passion, is the Ford Mustang.
Ford guy.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm wearing a Dale Jarrett.
I was going to say, you and Ryan right now, are like, Ryan works for Chevy, and he's like a secretly big Ford guy.
Yeah, dude, the blue oval, man. My dad's a Ford guy. He's got a 1970 F100 with a 390 big block in it. And then our boat, we have a 1976 vintage Galaxy, like speedboat / ski boat. And it's got a small block 302 in it. So, like I grew up around Ford American V8s. There's a fun origin story that I'll probably get into at some point in this evening, but back to the professional. I spent 5 years at NASCAR, at the big house doing merchandise and partnership. And I think today is the anniversary of the rebrand of the NASCAR logo, which was the first time the logo had updated since 1976. So that was one of the first things I was a part of. My boss at the time, Richard Chatham, was the NASCAR contact that worked with the agency, Rare Agency, with the NASCAR brand marketing to rebrand that logo. So I was just reminiscing on Twitter today about that whole process and how crazy that was, that like my first year in the sport, I got to watch and be a part of the first logo change since 1976. And spent 5 years there, had a really good time working with a lot of cool people. Caroline Fogle, who's still there and still leading the NASCAR creative design program. Then from there, I moved on to Stuart Haas Racing, spent a year there in 2021, kind of saw how the cookie gets made from the team side, which was completely different for me. I had worked on the NASCAR side for so long, and I hadn't seen like what it actually takes to get the car to the track. Like I grew up short track racing, I was a gopher on my best friend Kenny's short track late model stock team. So like, I knew how to change a tire. I knew how to fill the fuel tank of a late model stock, but seeing how all that stuff gets to the track in such a huge way was unreal. And that same year, I was also still freelancing. I started freelancing under Lou Creative in college. It's actually been, I think, 12 years since I changed the brand name, and went from Lou Design to Lou Creative. And it got to a point in 2021 where I had enough. I had just as much work on the outside of my day job as I had in my day job. And I was able to kind of create a little nest egg. And over that off season, while simultaneously doing all the photo shoots and getting Stuart Haas ready for 2022, I was working with Emily to go, this isn't sustainable. I can't keep doing both of these things forever. I think we can make this work. And I think we can do this. I think we can jump out on our own. And Emily's been in the branding space for just 10 years, just as long as I have. She worked at an agency before working for Martin Truex's company and kind of helping set up his merchandise conglomerate. So she worked for Martin Truex Motorsports for three or four years, and Swell Inc., their big printing arm. She kind of helped with all of that. We still use them for all of our printing. But her job kind of had a shift, and there was a point where she could make a decision to stay there or try this thing out with me and let's do it together. And we jumped out right after Daytona in 2022 and have been hammered down ever since.
Holy shit. You really laid it all out, huh?
Yeah, that was a good,
I love it. I love it. So there was a lot to take in there. I'm sure we're going to dig into, we'll come back to a lot of that stuff. I mean, after seeing what Chevy did at Martinsville, and I've always been a Chevy guy, let me tell you right now, not a big fan anymore. And I drive a Chevrolet, thought about burning it. So hey. There's availability in the Blue Oval gang. I just might join. Okay.
Hey, all I got to say is don't hate the player, hate the game. You know, the circumstances allowed that to happen. We saw it happen with Spingate in 2013.
Why gotta bring up the past like that, huh?
We see it happen in stick and ball sports, right? Like you get a guy to come up and take the butt. You know, you gotta
even similar F1. You know, like you see it with the race manipulation in general. You saw it with the McLarens earlier on in the year or whatever. They'll pull over. We need this guy to win. Like. And they call it, what do they call that? Like executive orders or something like that or whatever.
Oh, yeah. The fuck? Yeah. Team orders, whatever.
Team orders. Same thing. So Blue Oval, does make some sick merch. Harris Lou shouts out. So I might be on that team. We'll see. Toyota and man, right there.
Look, if it's an even number year and Joey Logano is anywhere near the championship four, that's a safe bet in my opinion.
I'm a betting guy. On this, I do a Friday morning betting show, and how stupid I bet on the other Blue Oval. I bet on Ryan Blaney and, you know, better car in that race, but we're not going to go down that path because
betting with my heart, I would have gone with Blaney in that.
Hell but yeah, like, dude.
The way the cards fell and the wild sequence of events that led to him even being in that championship four, I mean,
It was written in the stars though, right when he got like Alex Bowman was out. It was written in the stars. I should have bet right then and there and went, all right, it's Joey Logano's year just to save my ass.
And then didn't something wild happen that let him win the race that made him playoff eligible anyway? Wasn't there like some crazy last couple laps stuff that like something there's Joey's got a voodoo doll somewhere.
Well, So remember it was Joey at Nashville. Joey at Nashville somehow strung all that fuel and sucked the strainer, like strained it all out, got whatever was left, wins the race. Then what? He fucking Bowman gets kicked out. Then he goes and wins a fuel mileage race. I digress because Ryan Williams also worked for Joey Logano personally. Oh, yeah. And so I talk shit about Joey Logano to Ryan all the time. He goes, nice guy. And I go, I don't care. This guy is winning all of his championships in the new shit.
I love Joey. Joey is one of the few like actual car guys that are on the circuit.
Okay, yeah.
Like I got to peek behind the curtain and see his car collection a couple years ago, and holy cow, man, he's got a Testarossa. He's got a Fox Body GT. Like he's got his range is unreal.
See the more that people talk about Joey Logano, it's starting to make me like him. It's his silly little smile. and how evil he can be behind that smile. I can't trust his face, dude.
Well, he's a competitor. You put that helmet on and he's a completely different person.
I want him to be honest about the hair transplant. Okay. I need to know about the hair transplant. And I just want him to be honest. And once that's happens, like The Rock with steroids, tell me you've been doing it so then I can trust you.
He did the commercials, man. He did the hair club.
It was not just that. Okay. He was going to Turkey. I need to see some flight receipts.
I mean, whatever it is, whether it's the stick on kind or if it's the real transplant, I don't know. It looks great.
Stick his head out in the window on the Daytona 500. The shit flies off.
Like, you can't peel this stuff off, but I will give it to him. Like, he needed it and he got it done and it looks great. And if I ever needed it, I would probably try.
I'm just pissed off that I haven't done it. That's why.
Yeah. So, but man, his car collection is nuts. Like his dad has like big trucks.
Like, oh, that's my shit, dude.
Giant vintage, like, you know, tractor trailers. And he's got a trash truck. A vintage trash truck they've turned into a bar. Like, it's got, they filled the trash truck inside with kegs. So like there's keg spouts on the side of it. Like they bring all their cool stuff out to Auto Fair out here. And it's worth it just to go see Joey's section. Cause they've got like, when they tow them out of there, they put a big truck on the flatbed of a big truck on the flatbed of a bigger truck. And so he's got like this stack of big trucks that pull
it. You guys live in a whole different world down there though. Like, for, I'm up here in Canada. I mean, motorsports is one thing, right? Like, dirt tracks, very small, short tracks, very small. You know, we do have the Indy Toronto race. You do get the odd races up at Mossport, where years ago, the truck series used to go there and stuff. But motorsports is really small. I mean, I feel like it's almost like an old boy kind of thing up here. I mean, everybody loves F1 up here. They love the Netflix. They love that shit.
F1 is in like they're in the NASCAR like 1998 era right now. Like, they have hit that popularity. They've hit that stride.
It'll die.
Like, there's a ride on Power Wheels F1 car right now. Like, that's where they've hit the kids market. They've hit the next generation of fans. So, you know, we're going to have that F1 popularity for, I think, at least 10 to 15 more years if they do it right.
Maybe we can catch them on the tail end of that. Hopefully soon.
Yeah. And I think we've, you know, I'm the throwback guy, so I'm going to say this, but I think we can look back at what we were doing in the early 90s and like, that's how we should be building what we're doing right now, because you've got,
this is a great thing, the segue to get into some questions that I wanted to ask is like, where do you think that we're going? Like, what do we need to do, right? We're gonna bounce kind of all over the place. There's no format to this. What do you think what we need to do, whether it's merch, you've been in the NASCAR world for a while now, so whether it's merch, branding, how do we get those eyes on it? As like, because you said you own a marketing company as well, right? So
I think the first thing you've got to do is get NASCAR back on the grocery store shelves, which Ryan Williams and Dale Jr. have done a beautiful job of, because I know you can't get it up here, but those Sundrop Dale Jr. cases are in every grocery store I can go to, whether it's Publix, Food Lion, Harris Teeter, whatever is around here, Walmart. That Dale Jr. number 3 Sundrop car is on the shelf in the drink aisle. And I remember as a kid, it was Pop Secret popcorn. It was Cheerios. It was Kellogg's. It was, you know,
Wheaties.
Everything. Yeah, Wheaties. The night that was my first race that I ever went to was the 97 Winston with the Wheaties car. So, like, you couldn't walk through a grocery store without seeing something NASCAR, whether it was the NASCAR Fritos with Jeff Gordon. Even though I hated Jeff Gordon as a kid, I was buying the NASCAR Fritos, man. Like, I wanted the little car Fritos because that's
hell yeah. You know,
so you got to get it back in a place where a kid's walking with their parents in the shopping cart and they point at it and they want it because it's got a cool car on it. And that's how you build the star power. That's how you build these, you know, drivers up to be superstars. Cause you know, John Andretti is a legend, but you know, there's no reason that me as a 7-year-old kid going to the grocery store, should have known who John Andretti was. And there's no reason I would have if he hadn't been on the Cheerios box, right? Like, that's how we keep wondering how do we build this star power? How do we get this thing rolling? And it's putting the drivers and the brands and the initiatives back into these places where they can be seen. And whether that's now, you know, the video game space, or whether that's the streaming space, or, you know, find those modern spaces. I say, like, put it in the brick and mortars. Like, it's, everybody still goes to the grocery store. That's why, yeah, I say that. Like, you still have to go buy groceries, but finding those things where you might just stumble upon it, because you're not gonna, the races are not very common. As big of a NASCAR fan as I am, I went to two races before I worked for the sport. Right. I went to the 1997 Winston, and I went to the 2011 Bristol Night Race. And those are the two races I went to that were actual NASCAR races before I worked for NASCAR. But I was still a fan of the sport. I still watched every week. I still bought the products and supported the brands that were on the cars. And I think that's another thing, is the brands that are on the cars are not consumer purchasable. Mm-hmm. Right. Like Freeway Insurance, for example. I keep getting a lot of Freeway Insurance ads, and that's a Daniel Suarez sponsor. I already have insurance, though. And, like, a kid can't buy insurance.
Yeah.
So while that's a great sponsor, and while that's someone that's supporting the sport, and we appreciate that immensely, it's not doing anything to grow the youth of the sport unless their parents buy that insurance, unless their, you know, aunt or uncle has that insurance and gets the marketing material or something like that. I think what we have to focus on, and I mean, we haven't had a new NASCAR video game in 4 years.
Yeah, there's right? a new and one coming out, right?
And I'm excited. The iRacing has the license now, and I have a lot of confidence that it's going to be a great game. But we've lost the NASCAR video game. Thankfully, NASCAR's in Forza again, so we're heading back in the right direction.
Yeah.
And I think we've made that turn. I think we've started heading back towards that direction. We're in Roblox. We're in Rocket League. We're now, you know, we're in Forza now.
I feel like a Fortnite, getting the fire suits or whatever, getting whatever in there, like Call of Duty, whatever you can get in there to get kids. That's why I always say, when it comes to getting a race up here in Canada, let me tell you, put it in Toronto, where, like, if you put it on the streets of Toronto, or you put it in Mossport, just north of Toronto, the hipster kids with the jackets and shit, all that stuff, they're going to fill the stands. Toronto is ginormous. I think there's like 6 to 8 million people that live in that downtown core. They are going to show up in droves. We have to be able to get to these young markets, and we're not touching that. Yeah. I mean, gambling is also one thing to be able to get a new market, but it's also, if you look at the numbers of how much money is actually dumped into the NASCAR sphere when it comes to betting, it is 0.005% of what the NFL is, you know, golf, hockey, so on and so forth. We're really not touching that market to be able to get a child, because remember those little like tin, like chocolate things like you could get or whatever as a kid?
Yeah.
I still got that shit. I was excited every year to get that for my grandfather. Like, there's little things even in Canada that I could get. Like, we gotta tap that market. You're so right.
And it's the simple things, like why do we not have when I go to Party City, I don't see a NASCAR section, or like why can't I buy NASCAR napkins and flags and candles for my kid's birthday cake? It's those things that I feel like have gotten, it was, you know, the small stuff that, and I feel like, you know, you got to focus on that and go into those markets, because it really is like the kids are what's going to pave the way for our future. That's, you know, who's going to be me in 20 years. So that's who I designed for. Who I visualize when I'm doing the work that I do, like, is this cool for the future me? Would 7-year-old me think this was cool? Right. So, you know, locking into that and focusing on that realm and trying to see, like, cause what you're essentially doing is you're creating the future. You're creating the next wave of what you want to see in the sport. So, I think, you know, doing the things that we're doing, the Netflix show, I wish it was releasing before the season, but I
do think, buddy, that just does not make sense.
I do think it will be awesome, though. We had an amazing end of the season, and, you know,
the whole season, the whole time, I'm like, we need to record this whole year. Holy shit.
Dude, I can't wait to see what the coverage they got of Tyler's move at Homestead. Like
that. Oh, dude, unreal. I was there. Oh my God. I'm unreal. Like, is he moving? Oh, is he gonna do that shit? Oh my God. I couldn't even.
I can't believe the block didn't get thrown. Like I was waiting for the block to get thrown. And I knew Tyler wasn't gonna let off. It was gonna be a mess or it was gonna work.
Oh yeah. The whole time when he's coming up the back stretch, I'm like, he is not gonna let up. If Ryan Blaney does not go up here, oh my God, he didn't throw the block. What the fuck is going on? I was there for all three of his wins this year, Talladega, Michigan, and Homestead. I was losing my mind.
Dude, so are they paying for you to go every race? Because, I mean, you sound like the rabbit's foot.
No, but I feel like we got to get JD to slip a little something in there. I'm going to tell Tyler Reddick at Atlanta this year. I'm going to go, hey, bud, good luck, Charm. Talk about it. Okay. Yeah.
So you're telling me Atlanta might be a good race. All right, I'll put that one on the calendar here. I'm not saying, you know, correlation doesn't mean causation, but it's pretty big coincidence.
If he does win, everybody's coming back and clipping this off. All right.
Yeah, we got it. And then somebody's paying you to go to every 2311 race from here to the end of the world. So.
And if they don't, MJ and I are going to have a little chat. Okay. All I do is wear his sneakers. And I prepared to every time it's a Sunday and he's there, I wear the sneakers because I know he ain't going to be talking to me if I'm wearing Adidas. You don't want to see, I'm in bare feet in the basement right now. My feet are chitty. Yeah, you wear your shoes don't pull inside. The dogs out.
Yeah, man. I mean, I was out actually. So the big, I'm a nerd. I'm a dude. Hold on. I've been waiting for this.
He's getting up and he walked away. He's grabbing something
for like a year.
My God. Describe what we're seeing here.
I ordered this on Kickstarter in July of 2023. This is the 1/10 scale Back to the Future DeLorean that fits the Marty McFly action figures that I've had for years.
Oh, yeah.
So it lights up. It has the flux.
Oh, my God.
It is like 10 pounds. So the door's open.
How much was that, brother?
I don't want to talk about it.
God damn. Is it metal?
It is die-cast metal, and it is heavy.
Fuck.
And I have been waiting all week for that thing to show up, so that's why my shoes are on, because I had to go sign for it from UPS.
And then run home.
Like it just came out of the box, and so I had to move where it was to set up the camera. So, yeah.
But when the biggest thing is when MJ, if you're listening, he's never listened to this shit, but MJ, if you're listening, when he was in a rush, he decided to still tie up his J's, put his J's on. This is how much we love the shit. Okay, so 2311.
The reimagined Chicago's. That's what I wore to go pick up the UPS.
Great fire. Yeah, I mean, man, we could talk about sneakers all the time. I love sneakers so goddamn much.
I just the only pair of shoes I bought this year were the Black Cement 3s. I was on a spending freeze thanks to the wedding. So
comfy.
It took up a lot of my money. Dude, the leather is super nice. Like, it's probably the nicest leather on any pair of threes I have.
They're still available on Foot Locker up here in Canada to get some more sizes. So I might double up over the holidays.
Dude, they're definitely still in stores down here. Like, you could probably go walk in the mall right now and buy a pair.
Oh, probably. They've just been sitting. So, I guess when it comes to... I guess we'll kind of bounce off what we were just talking about, how being able to catch people's eye. When it comes to designing your shirts, anything like that, does that come into effect when you're creating any of your designs? Like, to be able to have the most eye-popping, eye-catching thing on the merch hall or online as well? And are you thinking about, like, being able to catch a certain age group? I feel like a lot of your designs, at least personally for me being 28, from like probably late 30s to teenagers, we love that kind of color. Like the whole scheme that you have going, as well as Ryan Williams. What's your process? Are you trying to hit a certain market? Because I feel like obviously the older generation's kind of moving out. Run off that.
Well, man, I started diving into this throwback stuff back in 2017, my second year at NASCAR. We got to work with the licensing department and really come up with some concepts. It was more of a, like, we introduced our department to the licensing department, and We kind of got a green light to show some concepts of where we think or where we thought NASCAR merch was going to go or where we could take it. And me and my coworker, Alex Brown, worked together and he did like a full collegiate style line of stuff. And I did like a vintage NASCAR racing line of stuff. And it's crazy that 7 years later, that's what's everywhere, right? Like we were unknowingly ahead of the curve. And we both started leaning into that stuff. And I did my first, I guess, NASCAR throwback shirt in 2018 that made it on the hauler, made it official. And it was a Davey Allison, you know, 1987 Thunderbird shirt. And that led into the Hall of Fame stuff, getting to do that for a couple of years. I got to do Bobby Labonte's Hall of Fame shirt, Waddell Wilson. I got to have a Zoom call with Red Farmer and his family, which is absolutely insane. Like you're legend Red Farmer on a Zoom call talking about what he wants his t-shirt to look like. And I'm losing it. But we got to do a lot of cool stuff. And I think it's just I started collecting vintage NASCAR in 2015. Right? I bought my first two shirts when I went to a Texas Motor Speedway race when I worked in Texas. It was Jeff Gordon's last Texas race. And I bought two Mark Martin shirts for like $10 a piece on eBay.
Hell yeah.
And one of them was like an all over print 1998 Valvoline.
That was when the all over print t-shirts were cheap. Now they're expensive
like,
as hell.
It was like $12, man. I wish I could go back. But I remember passing on so much heat because it was like $45. And I was like, oh, that's too expensive.
Now it's like three.
$245. But it kind of spiraled out of control from 2015 to about 2020. And I have upwards of 200 actual vintage NASCAR tees.
Trying to
thin the herd a little bit. But my excuse for that was I wanted to see, feel, and touch how things used to be done. I wanted to see what the halftones looked like. I wanted to feel what the print felt like. I wanted to see how they sized things. And selfishly, I just wanted to buy old, cool stuff. But
yeah, I was going to say, let's be honest here.
It did help because I can feel, I can touch, I can go in my closet and grab a shirt and go, okay, that's cool that how they did that. How do I make that new? Right. And when I'm sitting down and design a shirt, especially one that's a throwback, like say I'm doing something for Mark Martin, which we've done a lot for him this year. And he wants a 1996 Winn-Dixie, whatever car, right? For this certain race, for this moment. When I go to design that shirt, I'm trying to put on the hat of the designer from 1996.
Right.
I'm trying to go when this is done, if I put it on a rack or I put it on the merch hauler in 1996, would it look right? And if the answer is no, then you've failed. You've not done your job. If you're using,
let me tell you, I've seen your shirts and Ryan Williams shirts at vintage shops up here in Canada. And I'm going, guys, that's like a big compliment.
That's
huge.
That's what we want. Yeah. And so that's my whole goal is I put authenticity first in whatever I'm doing. So regardless of whether I'm doing something throwback or something brand new, I want to make sure I know as much about whatever I'm designing for as I can. We actually just did a shirt, a NASCAR style shirt for a trucking company. And drawing this big rig, right? That's got wood trusses on the back of it and things like that. And you're like, okay, I know how to make this look NASCAR, but having to go to the client and going, okay, well, I need this to be accurate too, because we're making this for people that know about this stuff. This is not, I'm not making this for a NASCAR person. I'm making this for a trucker who knows how many straps should be on this load. So like you tell me how many straps need to be on the back of this truck. So when that person that gets the shirt puts it on, they don't go, oh man, I wouldn't do that. Or
that's a badass trucking company. Let me tell you, that person knows what's up.
So you always have to come with at everything you do, whether it's NASCAR, whether it's, you know, a trucking company, whatever it is, you have to come at it with the accuracy and authenticity in mind. There's a lot of people out there doing car stuff that a car guy like me looks at and goes, ah, you know, that's not how I would do it, or that's not how it's done. Or I was just talking to a friend that does car merch the other day, and he was like, yeah, I saw a Nissan GTR on a shirt, and it was flipped the opposite way, and the exhaust was on the wrong side.
Oh.
And like, the person at that licensing company has no idea because they've never seen a GTR in real life. Or like, I think it all has to start with authenticity. And the more you can get in those spaces or talk to the people that are in the spaces you're designing for, the better your art will be. And heck, the better anything you do will be. Making sure you have an authenticity coach or someone with knowledge in the room to go, hey, that's not how that's done. Let's do it this way. Because you might not always be wrong. You just might not have the knowledge to be right. Right.
I was going to say that when it comes to going up to a merch hauler, you can tell that there's different passions for certain people. When I go to the Junior Motorsports hauler, I see there's passion behind whoever's designing it. And obviously Ryan is doing the majority of that stuff. When I go to the RFK hauler, I see there is passion. Dude, I might be biased because now I know you, I know Ryan, I see this stuff. But even before then, before I was in the NASCAR world, knowing people in NASCAR, I was driven to those. And now I know it's the passion behind you guys is what's creating this. And you go to, and I'm going to name drop them, Spire Motorsports. You go to their merch haulers, very bland, very boring. I mean, Ross Chastain, like that whole, he's got his whole trailer, could step it out a little bit more, maybe get his Melon Brand stuff on there more because his Melon Brand stuff does go a little bit more above and beyond. And then until Denny Hamlin, well, I guess Toyota is not bad, but like the Hendrick Motorsports, very, oh my God, there was the Texas win for Chase Elliott this year. And it was the most God awful shirt I have ever seen in my life. It was a cut and paste little man, little stick figure, basically going like cheering on top of a car. And I was like, that to me, as the passion I have for vintage t-shirts and being able to feel the passion on the merch haulers, that just made me not want to buy any of their merch at all. There's no passion behind that. Now, Ryan did explain that there's a lot of work for those guys. They have a lot of turnover. There's multiple people also working on it. So I can totally understand that, but you can feel the passion. Why RFK is very busy when you go to the track, why Junior Motorsports is also Dale Jr. But
yeah,
you could feel the passion behind it when you walk up and the quality of work, and your shirts feel like a nice vintage t-shirt. They put in the time and go to the right printing shops to get good quality. So that's me sucking you off for the last minute or two here, as well as Ryan in the back, just taking it all in.
Dude, I love Ryan's style, and it's hilarious that like, I think probably he's such a good guy. Like he's so this is the funniest story, and I've probably never told it publicly, but it's probably like 5 years ago, and I'm known for my halftones, right? Like I've always done the halftone style and everything like that. And I would have never thought twice if he just picked up halftones and started doing them. He's an artist. You learn stuff every day. You start doing stuff. He was kind enough to call me and go, hey man, I want to try to learn halftones. Can I, or do you mind? I'm like, no, learn halftones, bro. I'll help you. He's like, I want to use halftones on this shirt. I'm like, use it. Like I don't own halftones, but the fact that he was a good enough guy to call me and ask, it's like this, that's the kind of guy he is. And we've got a good community of designers. We've got a little group chat and like we share resources back and forth. And I was just sharing some vintage contingency stickers with Kyle Williams, who works for TDS, who does a lot of the Toyota wraps and really a lot of cars that you see on track every weekend. That dude has designed more cars in his lifetime than I'll ever even think about. And Ryan Daly too. Ryan Daly is one of my biggest inspirations when it comes to like throwback accuracy for on car stuff. When iRacing released the 87 cars, it was COVID time. We were all sitting at home bored. Me, him, and Ryan Williams got a group together and started like going back through and trying to recreate the 1987 season cars. And man, the ones he recreated and remade blew mine away. Like we had a master document of 87 contingencies and stuff, like so we could mix and match and make these cars. And I think I only made two. And it was a Ricky Rudd Motorcraft and the Red Baron number 90. But Ryan Daly has an entire album, I think, on his trading paints of perfectly accurate down to the last contingency decal. And he sent me a vintage contingency today. And not only had he remade it perfectly, he had gone as far enough as to put the part number and the copyright line at the bottom of the decal.
Jesus. So like,
and he was making this for iRacing, and like I just happened to need it for, you know, something that needed to be printed. But like he's going that detailed on his stuff, and like you mentioned some of the other teams that you know don't seem to have that creativity, and you know I'll give Trackhouse their due. You said that it doesn't fit your style, but I will say that all of their merch looks like it goes together. Yeah. They have a very cohesive style, and I think the Trackhouse brand is more in that.
Oh no, yeah, okay. I was gonna say it's not the Trackhouse brand. It's just sometimes when I look at the stuff, it can be a little bit bland at times.
I'm saying like the Trackhouse merchandise, like it's not for me, it's not for you. Yeah. But I think the Trackhouse fan, I think it fits them well.
They came out with a black camo Trackhouse racing sweater this year. Immediately saw it, like I think at Talladega or something. I don't care if it's how hot it is out here, I need that fucking sweater. It's straight fire. Didn't give a shit.
I do wish they would put the cool Bush graphics on the front of the shirt, but I understand that they know their demographic. So if you go to a hauler and you see that most of the graphics are on the back, they know who
that's me.
Selling to,
I do. Right? I also like that style, but it depends on also, I don't know how you guys lay it out and the color blocking and everything. I go, love your shit right on the front as well as Ryan. And then but then all of a sudden he gets the back hit as well when he's got the front hit. That's just magnifique. Love it all. It all depends on the style.
My ideal is to do a front and a back. But mm-hmm. if I'm like a full front, full back. But if I have to pick one, I'm gonna pick full art on the front.
Right. Because
I'm also a jacket wearer. So like I wanna have my cool jacket and my cool shirt. And you know, when you put when you have the pocket tee.
Is that how you say to your wife, like, hey, I have a jacket, but I also need a cool shirt to go with this, so now I need to buy a shirt. That's how you ended up with 200 fucking shirts.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, and you know, if I was going to put a jacket on, I would probably grab my Ernie Irvin Texaco jacket, because then you'd have the full Robert Yates team from 97
on your
body, right? You'd have the 97 Ernie jacket, the 97 Jarrett shirt, and you'd go full Robert Yates racing on it. So, yeah, I mean, that's I like to put together the outfit, and I like the shirt to be seen under the jacket. So that's my philosophy when I'm like, let's put the art on the front.
Hell
and
yeah.
Usually, sometimes they'll be like, okay, let's put it on the back and make a chest hit, which, you know, Heat Wave, we just dropped that Jeff Gordon stuff.
Yeah.
And I pushed hard to get that on the front, but I at least got to make a cool pocket hit. So like it's the big circle with the number and
there's, you know, also I do know there's a lot to go with like sponsorships as well. Some sponsors they have a lot of say and what is designed and how it goes out. So I totally understand that some sponsors, like Brian tells me about how some certain sponsors can give a bit like a really big fuss and he'll throw out something super creative and just give it to them. And then they shut it down every time they want something super bland. Right. So there's a lot behind that too. And I think people need to understand that.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, you see paint schemes get beat up on social media. You see marketing campaigns, like the amount of hands that had to go through before it made it to your eyes is immense. And, you know, it got approved for a reason and it looks the way it looks for a reason. And a lot of time those reasons aren't fun. And that's one of the hardest parts about being a designer is you can make the cases that you want to make. You can push as hard as you want to push. It all comes down to, you know, who's paying for it and who's in charge. And, you know, you make it the best that you can. Just understand that whatever you see, the designer and the stakeholders involved made it as best as they could possibly make it in the circumstances that they did. So, you know, cut the people some slack. You know, not everything can be perfect. Not everything can be in your face and all over the place. And
I go at the sponsors now rather than the people behind the scenes, rather than the designers, because I feel like the majority of the time, it comes from the tippy top of the sponsorships rather than the people that actually are being the creative minds behind it all.
And who knows, you know, each sponsor has a different brand guideline and each sponsor has a different goal. And a lot of times, you know, I do wish some of these sponsors would realize that the same guidelines that your logo has on a business card or a billboard shouldn't have to apply to a race car.
Yeah.
Like if your logo is cut off a little bit in the wheel well, we can still read it.
Yeah.
And the bigger the logo is, the easier it is to read at 180 miles an hour. so, you know, don't waste the space that you paid for because your brand guidelines say your logo can't get cut off in the wheel well.
Or just make the car extremely bright orange like the King's Hawaiian fucking cars. And I love that shit. So that makes me segue into what is it like working with Brad Keselowski, RFK Racing, a NASCAR Cup Series champion, Brad Keselowski.
Has it
been surreal? How did you get into that?
So it came kind of full circle this year because I only went to two races in my life before I worked in NASCAR. The second race I went to, Brad Keselowski won.
Yeah.
And that was the first race I went to as an adult. It was the 2011 Bristol Night Race. And he was driving the Blue Deuce, and I'm pretty sure it still had the Vortex bottle on the side of it at that point, which I don't know if you remember those things, but I was right about to turn 21. So those Vortex bottles I was familiar with at the time. But anyway, it's this year we got to be at Darlington for the Castrol throwback win, and holy cow, man, like I didn't get a win, or I wasn't at a win when I was at Stuart Haas. And then at NASCAR, you know, anytime anybody wins, you're kind of a winner because you work for the sport. So this was the first time I had experienced an actual win that I could say I was a part of.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got to go into victory lane, and I've, you know, picked up a pocket full of confetti and, you know, so the funniest part was I was wearing a competing sponsor's t-shirt, and my outfit was fire though, but I'm sitting there.
At least it was fire.
Yeah. So, and then also Tyler Reddick is one of my really good friends. And so those last couple of laps it's Buescher, Tyler, and Brad, I'm like, if Buescher or Brad wins, that's a great day for Lou Creative and a great day for the business.
Yeah.
If Tyler wins, that's a great day for Harris Lou as a friend and us as people. I was like, so really, unless they all three wad each other up here, we're pretty good right now. And then they decided to almost wad each other up. And I'm like, don't do like some one of y'all win, please. And so, man, it was a stressful last couple of laps. And then I'm sitting there looking at Emily, and I look down, and I'm wearing a big, giant opposing sponsor to Castrol. And I was like, if he wins, I got to go over here in this inspection tent and turn my shirt inside out.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not gonna do it until he crosses that finish line first, because I'm not gonna jinx it. He crossed that finish line. I went straight to the inspection tent on pit road, flipped my shirt inside, and put it back on.
That was, I think, that was what, a couple weeks after Atlanta. Atlanta yeah. happens. I'm there at Atlanta, and I go, my God, what the fuck did I just witness? Then I'm sitting at home watching that Darlington race, and I go, okay, can we record? At the beginning of the year, I was saying, can we record this whole fucking year already and just put it all on a Netflix show? I don't care if it's a year late, because that race was unbelievable. And I love Buescher, Brad Keselowski. It was so well deserved in that, like, to be able to win that race. And Tyler Reddick, love Tyler. He is the nicest fucking dude on earth, and I love his throwback hair, where he had the fucking hair over his fucking face being like a true Slipknot fan like I was. And so I was cheering for everybody there, and I had money on Brad, and Brad won me a lot of money. So is Brad just an all around solid, good guy to work with? Is he very open when it comes to, designs? How much say does he have when it comes to, you putting a design together?
Well, he's got a great team of people at RFK. We work with Brian Saunders, and Amanda Palmer in the licensing department. And, you know, this started, I think, our second year. So 2020, maybe late 2022, we started working with them and started doing a couple of shirts here and there. We did a King's Hawaiian shirt, I think, was the first thing we did. So the first shirt we did with them was a Brad shirt. It's all gone over really well, and they're very receptive to our creative ideas. And they're a group of people that is willing, you know, you talked earlier about, you know, difficult sponsors and things like that, but they're a group that's willing to push the idea forward, right? Mm-hmm. They're willing to go to bat for us as artists and believe in our ideas and trust us. And that's a that's all you can ask for as a creative is, you know, even if you lose the battle, you've got somebody standing beside you that's fighting with you and helping you push it forward and help make your case. They're really good at hearing us out on the whys. And that means more than anything, because as long as I can tell you why I want to do something or why I did it that way, if it comes back after that and it's still a no, okay. I was able to explain myself. I was able to make my case. I understand that you still want to go your direction, but at least you let me, you know, say my piece. And they're really great at that. And they foster us in such cool ways. Like I'm working on stuff for them right now for next year. And I hope it's a relationship that lasts quite a long time. And we were lucky enough this year to be at both wins. And I think that one of the wildest things, we offer a premium service to clients that need it, where we will design your win t-shirts and we will deliver it in the quickest turnaround that we can deliver it in. Mm-hmm. Which we have had t-shirts up on the website ready for purchase on Tuesday afternoon after a win on Sunday before. So when all things go right, that's the fastest we can ever do anything. But we signed on to that in 2023. And then Buescher went off on his 3 wins in a month.
Oh, God bless.
And I thought my hand was going to fall off.
You're like, hey, stop winning, dude.
Oh, my. No, I wasn't. I was like, keep going. I'm going to see how long I can do this for. But man, it got to.
Do you get arthritis or something?
Oh, man, I got a cyst. Well, it's gone right now. But I usually have a cyst on my wrist from just the years of drawing and using the mouse. Right now it's actually completely gone, which is crazy. But but yeah, man, I was like, come on, keep winning. Let's go. Let's keep doing it. But man, that was the coolest stretch for sure, was doing that. And then the 1-2 finish at Daytona, getting to put both cars on the shirt and the taking it to the bank, the fifth third bank win, being able to having the sponsors that will let us come up with the slogans and the catchphrases. And RFK's got a really good bunch. Elijah Burke, who does their social media, best in the game. That dude he is one of the funniest people I've ever met. One of the quickest wits. Like I'll check Twitter and I'm just like, I'll just be like, bro, why are you like this? And then I gotta
meet this guy, because him and I used to do stand-up comedy. So like, I'm very, very fat. I love meeting those people, because just having meet a couple of those similar minds, just boom, 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 boom. Oh man, it is a great time.
And then their car designer, Aaron Burnett, amazing dude too. Great artist. And mm-hmm. being able to have that team of people where you've got the social media mind who can come up with the plan to get it out.
Social media is so good.
You got the licensing mind that can, make sure everything is right and negotiate with the sponsors and get those cool ideas rolling. And then Aaron on the art side, who can make sure we have the proper render angles and the car files and all the artwork. So it's become, I feel like we put together a pretty well-oiled machine and we're making some really cool stuff together. And that's what I've been turning and burning on this past week. So I'm excited to have some cool stuff come out in the new year with them and keep it rolling.
Well, I have to say that makes me, and I feel like everybody that's listening to the podcast should be really appreciating RFK and the creative freedom that they're giving you guys. Personally, for me, as being a very heavily tattooed individual, the guys I've become friends with, they're just random artists I've been tattooed over the years. Their favorite thing is me saying, I like your style. Like, I want to get this tattooed or come up with something. My back piece that I'm currently working on right now, I said, I want some alien shit, love aliens, want some severed heads, go with it. And then nice. Giving them creative freedom. The biggest thing is being able to let an artist be an artist. And usually 90% of the time, the most beautiful things come out of that relationship. And I'm happy. I'm, you know what? I'm buying more RFK shit. I don't care.
Please do.
Rob my bank.
They'll let us make more of it. The more you buy, the more we can make. So,
okay. So if I just buy the whole merch hauler?
Yeah. The better it sells, the more we get to make,
Like so one guy showed up today and bought the whole merch trailer. Looks like we can need to make more. This guy is addicted to King's Hawaiian bread and Castrol Edge motor oil. All right.
Man.
Good Lord. And Fastenal.
They're so cool. Like it's cool that we are so close to the showroom and everything too. Cause I think that first 2020, three when all the three win shirts came into stock. I got to go over, and it's in the Roush like Hall of Fame area and in their museum and stuff. So getting to go see that, like I'm weird where I've had clients or people fuss at me before because I will go and buy the merch that I designed, knowing that I could probably ask for it, right, and not have to pay for it come out of pocket. But it's that memory I have from that first race I went to of going through all the haulers and looking at all the stuff. And now I can go walk up to the hauler and buy something that I made off the hauler. Yeah. And it's a cool feeling. And the folks at E2 and Checker Flag who run the haulers and everything, they're all great people. And I would suggest that, you know, when you go to the haulers, don't just buy the merch, talk to the person that's selling it to you.
They are the best people, man. Yeah. Love every single one of them, dude.
And most of them have been on the circuit for years. So
they got great stories.
So if it's a slow day and you find yourself in the merch in the midway with, and there's nobody else around, strike up a conversation because it's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
I've never had a bad conversation with anybody behind the merch hauler. So, and those folks are the ones busting their butts to make sure everything gets from track to track each week. Like we wouldn't be able to have all the cool stuff we get to sell without everybody that gets into the track and makes it happen. So
I'm going to try and have the couple that runs the Junior Motorsports trailer every weekend. I'm going to try and get them to come on the podcast,
dude.
Or do it live at the track. Cause they are a fucking hoot. Those two, they are great.
I know they got some stories, bro.
Oh yeah, dude. He's like had to fight a couple of people off last year before like Watkins Glen or something like that. It was nuts. This guy has lived a full life and driving. He loves Spam. I'm not nice. Canada. Spam is not like we have it, but ain't nobody ever touching that shit. That shit's been sitting there since the day it got put there.
Dude,
like 5 years ago.
I can imagine Watkins is wild too, because they put the haulers right in front of like the infield stage.
Oh yeah.
So like you're
it's
right
on.
There.
It's
the
on.
Chaos and the concerts are right by the haulers. So that's probably a crazy one, but. Yeah, so we got to go to Watkins this year. And
I was there, dude.
Wait, how did we not link up? We were camping.
I don't know, because I was with JD like the whole time.
Dude,
I think I might have went to like Pit Road or something like that. And then he said, oh, I'm meeting up with Harris. And I went, fuck, I kind of want to meet up with Harris, but I'm also meeting Jared, because Jared was the one that got me the passes that weekend.
Nice.
So I'm like, well, fuck. Like, and then he goes, oh, yeah, Harris was just here. I'm like, shit. We could have crossed paths.
Do we? Yeah, we. Well,
it'll come again.
We were hanging out with them the night before when they got shut down for playing the music too loud, too late. But yeah,
oh, man. was that the Saturday night?
Yeah, the Saturday night. So we.
Yeah,
we
and then he was up to like what 4 or 5 in the morning. He was at the track at like 7. I go, you're nuts, dude.
Dude, I don't know. He's a different level.
He was also a recently single man at that point, so I'm sure he wanted to go buck wild. That'll fucking do it, dude. I'm sure we'll meet up at a track. I know that I'm going to be at a bunch of races this year. Raja Karuf's family, his dad reached out to me and to get a bunch of merch to a bunch of my buddies that all had their stomachs painted and shit for Raja. So he's given us pit passes for the Coke 600 weekend. So I'm sure you'll be there because it's right in your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we'll meet up there. But Atlanta, I'm going to be at Atlanta. So I'm sure if you get your ass up there to Atlanta, or is it up or down from North Carolina?
Down from us.
Down. Yeah. My bad. Don't disrespect the Americas.
No, it's 3 hours down. So you're a little.
Is it 3 hours? That's still a bit of a hike. That's not bad compared to me. Oh my God.
You're way up there.
Oh buddy. It's it's really cold. Celsius wise, I think it's supposed to get down to like -10, -12 tonight. So I don't know what that is. Like fucking minus, or that's like 20 degrees, 25 degrees. Oh, I lost you. I don't know what happened here. I lost your microphone. Oh, did they die? I think they might have died. It looks like it's on mute. Oh, anyway, guys, he's on. I can't hear you. Maybe exit out, come back in. Oh,
all right. I got
you. No. Oh, yeah. There you are.
Yeah. they connected to my phone when I picked it up. But it was we got a warm past couple of days here. It was like 55 today and in the 60s.
Oh, what a tough day.
Yeah, I know. It's Fahrenheit. So
yeah, I know. So I have last two, but like just some fun questions. What is your all-time, who is your all-time favorite driver? And what is your favorite paint scheme of all time?
Man, I will say favorite driver.
Definitely not Jeff Gordon.
It's a three-way tie between Mark Martin, Dale Earnhardt, and Ernie Irvin. I could not reliably pick one out of the three. I was equally as big of a fan of all three of them growing up as a kid. Ernie Irvin was, you know, the best comeback story in motorsports, aside from Niki Lauda, obviously. But I wish he would get more shine, and mm-hmm. the fact that he even came back for as long as he did after what happened to him is unreal. Obviously the Intimidator, and then Mark Martin, the legend, the
also working with them now too is fucking sick.
Man, it's unreal, and they're so cool. Him and Matt, his son, are the nicest people. And it's just, I can't even explain it.
Surreal, it's the
coolest thing ever. Right. And my favorite paint scheme of all time is the 1992 to 96 or 95, Mark Martin hockey stick schemes. So
hell yeah.
Like that Valvoline scheme is just iconic. You can't get, it's just the most simple, powerful, iconic thing. And they were even, it's the only paint scheme I know of that got, had copyright information on the scheme.
Oh, really? I never even
noticed
that.
If you go back and look on track on the front quarter underneath the contingencies, it's like copyright Valvoline, whatever their marketing agency was.
That's awesome.
Like they were smart enough to copyright that hockey stick scheme even way back then. And I've still got some of the diecast from like 93 and 94. And if you flip it over, it's the only diecast that has like a copyright of Valvoline marketing or whatever underneath it. Had a whole extra sticker. But yeah, that paint scheme is the top of my Mount Rushmore. The top, it's on my Mount Rushmore, but it's the one that's facing you the closest.
well, I was going to say, you also chose like the three drivers with some of the most rad merch, vintage merch of all time.
Yeah.
No
and
doubt.
I've got, those are the three that I have the most of. I have, they're now all folded because I don't wear them as much as I used to.
I got
to
pick through that closet. God damn, dude.
I need to. There's stuff in there I forgot about. It's bad.
Man, you gotta do some like Instagram posts of that shit.
I need to just go through it and reorganize. It definitely needs to be reorganized because I've not, it used to be neatly in piles by driver. And like it was organized by how many I had of each driver. So like it was Mark Martin and then Dale Earnhardt and then Ernie Irvin. And like, but I've got two Mark Martin shirts that are Mark the Shark themed. And one of them's the wildest I've ever seen. There's no car on it. It's just sharks. And the sharks have the Valvoline paint scheme on them.
Oh, you got to send me a photo of that.
So like there's not a car on the thing. It's just
Mark
the Shark, and it's just sharks swimming around the all over print shirt. It's nuts. And I don't know,
imagine how much that would be now, brother.
I've never seen another one. That's the wild.
No, neither have I. I'm on eBay every fucking day.
And I think the other weird one I have a sample, or it's not a sample. I think it was a discard pile sewed together of an all over print Davy Allison shirt. So it's two fronts sewed together of an AOP, so it fits horrible whichever way you wear it, and the sleeves were made out of the back.
Oh,
so like I don't know what happened. Oh, I guess
what even is that?
Somebody at the end of the day had some leftover pieces at one of the mills that was making the shirts. There's no tag in it, and then I was able to find like the actual shirt, and so I have one that's got the front and the back and the proper sleeves, and then I have this weird one that was the leftovers sewed together.
This is by far the most interesting conversation I've had. I mean, Ryan is also great. Ryan is sarcastic. He's dry at times, and I fucking love him for that
because
he is hilarious, dude. This is also one of the most exciting podcasts that I've had because I was like, I know that you're a wild man. You can have fun, and you also have a great vintage collection as well too. So a final one. There's two, I guess, to finish off here. But what has been your most memorable, I guess, moment working in NASCAR?
Man.
Don't hurt yourself now.
No, I'm not. I'm just trying to think, like, as far as success moments go, I would say being at that Goodyear 400 this year. That's, you know, we've busted our butt with this business for 3 years, and you know, you're on the outskirts, you're running your own business, you're not really like, you don't think you don't really get to be a part of those wins because you're kind of the team at home. So being at the track this year was awesome for that. As far as like my working moments go, I think the wildest thing that ever happened, I was working with Stuart Haas and I was at Darlington and it was the Southern 500. And, you know, you're a photographer. Keep in mind, half of this year we'd had masks on. Right. So you're just now, it's September. So you're just now, I've just been there since February. So like, I'm just now getting into the swing of things with the crew guys and with the folks on the ground. I'm shooting the four car this day. And post race, we're in the top five. So we're in the media corral at the end. I've worked for NASCAR for 5 years. I'm unaware that you're not allowed to go on the right side of the cars after the race because there's an impound period if you're on the team. I'm over there to get the Darlington stripe because both Kevin and Eric Almirola had scraped the wall and that side of those cars looked beautiful. I mean, they were tore up. It was gorgeous. And I wanted to get those photos. And I had taken my coworker over there with me who was relatively new. So he didn't know the rule either. And he's shooting video and I'm shooting photo and the NASCAR official starts yapping at us. And Alejandro from NASCAR is over there too. And I guess, you know, the NASCAR photographer can get over there. So he starts fussing at me and my coworker to get back on the other side of the cars. We're not supposed to be over there. And so I'm like, and I'm kind of snapping back. I'm like, man, I'm just trying to get the stripes. Like, let me get this picture and I'm done. It's like, I got the picture and I walked over around the other side and Kevin Harvick's in the media corral and, you know, he's getting his picture taken and I'm zooming in, taking a picture of him giving an interview. And all of a sudden my camera goes black and I look up and it's Cheddar Smith. The car chief, iconic Cheddar, is looking down at me. And he's like, he gave me the third degree. He was like, if the NASCAR official ends up getting us in trouble because you wanted to take a picture, you're going to have to find some other stuff to take pictures of. And I go white as a ghost. I'm so scared. Ooh. Like, I am terrified. I'm like, oh, God, I got to delete these photos. I run over to my coworker. He had video. I'm like, you got to delete all that. Like, it's got to. And I look over. And Cheddar has gone to stand by Rodney Childers. And Cheddar is like elbowing Rodney, laughing his ass off.
Oh, shit, dude. Fuck. Oh, my God.
I was terrified, man. I thought I was about to lose my job.
Probably shaking.
I thought I was going to end up in the penalty report.
Oh, my God.
I know I turned white as the wall at Darlington, man. Like it was, and then immediately when he started laughing, I turned as red as the red section of the wall at Darlington.
So, you son of a bitch, yeah.
Man. That was kind of like, you know, you get those kind of baptism by fire moments.
Yeah,
that
man.
That was one of the coolest. Cause it was like, okay, all right.
I'm a part of the crew now.
Yeah. And it's by the end of the year, Cheddar was helping me figure out colors of the Busch Hero card. So, you know, that was the coolest part of that Stuart Haas job was being on the ground with those folks and learning from folks like Justin Potter and the folks, you know, because Justin had been in the shop long before he was on the grid with the camera. So just being able to go with him and tag along behind him at the races and, you know, have him point out stuff on the cars and point out some of the things that were happening in the garage. I think that was a big learning year. And I'm very thankful I got to see behind that curtain of how the teams work. And really sad that Stuart Haas isn't around anymore, man. I was a huge SHR fan, a huge Tony Stewart fan, and I'm hoping
that Tony till we die.
Dude, my mom, I got to introduce my mom to Tony Stewart at SRX race, and she's been a Tony fan. Like, she walked up, she did the typical fan, like, I have loved you forever. And I'm like, okay, mom. All right.
The Southern accent just
killed me. Yo, that's that she went full on, but
that's awesome. Yeah, man,
get, getting to take my friends and do, you know, cool stuff in the industry. Like, you know, my did my bachelor party at Bristol. I got to take all my groomsmen with me. And some of them, one of them had never been to a race at all, ever. Wow. So seeing him walk into Bristol for the first time and just.
That's an experience.
You know, yeah, it's really fun to get to share it with people and have the moments. And I think that's what's more important than anything is sharing it with the people that you love and sharing your passion with people that you know are going to love it too.
So do you have any future goals? What for the company, yourself? Do you want 300 fucking vintage NASCAR tees? Like, what's going on with you guys?
I put myself on a freeze of buying NASCAR tees. So I think I've put some on eBay too. So like I'm starting to thin the herd a little bit.
Oh, I did see that. I did see that.
Yeah. Lou's Locker on eBay. And I have a Lou's Locker Instagram page, but man, future goals, we just want to keep making cool stuff. And I know that's very open but that's how we've gotten where we're at. I didn't have a rich benefactor. I didn't have a big platform to jump off of. I just started doing cool stuff that I like to do and trying to find other people that like to do the same kind of cool stuff. And I think in the next 3 to 5 years, we'd love to have a couple of more designers with us on the Lou Creative team and build, you know, a little team of like-minded folks that can serve people in motorsports and outside of motorsports. You know, we've got a lot of outside clients that really, you know, don't have anything to do with motorsports. Liquid Death, we've kind of brought into the fold and they're doing official things with NASCAR now, but that started because they wanted to do a NASCAR style shirt and they found us and we've had a wonderful, it's crazy to say that it's been a 4-year relationship now or 3 to 4 year relationship now. So how do we keep doing the motorsport thing in whatever realm we find? I think that's our goal, is to continue introducing people to this thing and bringing, you know, new brands, new partnerships, new teams, new drivers into this world and showing them how cool they can look and how cool they can be.
NASCAR till we die, dude. It's the greatest sport in the fucking world.
Amen. I mean,
I try and explain it to people all the time, and then they finally go to one race, or I sit down, make them watch the race, or they sprinkle $10 on a guy, or, you know, that's one part I try and push a lot is on the Friday morning betting shows is like, you know, you put $10 on a guy, you could win like $900. Like you get like, or like, and just have fun with it. Go and experience the race, meet the people like yourself, JD, the wildest man on the fucking planet. You meet those people in random instances, and NASCAR is the greatest sport in the world. You get the coolest merch. You meet the coolest people. Have some ice cold beverages. Beast Unleashed. Shouts out Liquid Death. Shouts out.
Oh, dude. I mean, and I always, you know, I always tell people, like, it's BYOB, man. Like, you can bring a cooler.
Yeah.
And they, like, folks don't know that. Like, you're not, you can, they sell alcohol. They sell drinks there. They sell food there. But you can bring in a cooler of beer and you can sit in your seat and enjoy some of the best racing in the world for 3 hours at a time. And that's, you know, it's, everybody says, oh, it's just turning left. No, it's not.
Oh my God.
Pick a guy, watch him for 3 laps and you'll see it's a lot more than just turning left.
I've tried to explain that to people a lot is come over, sit here, watch the race. I'll explain to you what's going on with aerodynamics and everything like that. Once they figure it out, once they have seen what's going on and they get all that down and then get a little bit of the personality of the drivers, they're like, okay, I'm in, I got it. And now they watch every Sunday. My dad locked in, met Tyler Reddick, Bubba Wallace, watches every week. He's like, he goes, those guys are great guys. They go through a lot. They're the nicest people in the world. I'm locked in. So when Tyler Reddick's move at Homestead is crazy.
Dude, unreal. And, you know, I was at his first Homestead championship race, and I held my breath for 30 laps while he scraped the wall and stayed quarter inch off the wall for 30, I think it was like 32 laps or something.
Crazy.
I almost passed out. And I was also that year we were at the Daytona win, where he had to win the race 4 times because of all the overtimes and had to beat Elliot Sadler multiple times to actually win that race. So like, he's put me through more heart attack situations than I think I've ever been in. So I must have a strong ticker, because good Lord, man. We always used to make the joke in Xfinity that whenever Tyler tagged the wall with his rear quarter, that there was a button in there, and that was the speed button. And if, as soon as he tapped that wall, you knew it was over. And he did that. He did that at Homestead right before he made the Blaney move. He had tagged the wall like a lap earlier, and I'm like, there it goes.
Oh, it's on now.
And the button worked, man. It's so fun to watch him race, and it's been fun to watch him grow up and become the great guy he is. Like I knew him through Mustangs before I even really knew he was a race car driver. Cause we both went to Mustang Week together down here in Myrtle Beach. And I remember like putting him in the media document my first year at NASCAR and go, you drive trucks for Brad K? Like, what? And then, you know, my first Daytona 500 was 2017. And that was, I think that was his first Xfinity race at Daytona.
Oh, wow.
And he was running the 42. With the broken boat records. And like my parents took a picture of us in the garage. And so there's like, I've got this photo, this awkward photo. We were mid sentence. My mom took a picture because that's what moms do.
And oh, yeah. We're both your worst times.
We're both mid sentence, mouth open, eyes all over the place. And I'm like, well, that's the thing. It's the first picture. Like we took at a racetrack together, but man, it's been cool watching him, you know, become such a star and such a great dude. And, you know, Alexa and Bo, like he's built a hell of a family, and I'm excited to see where he goes. Cause God, he's already made the championship four, dude. Like you're that close. Let's keep
it's only up from here, man.
Super, super proud to see just the growth and the success he's had. And man, he's driving the Jordan car. I mean,
my God, that relationship.
He's living the dream, and I'm so proud of him because it's been fun to watch and see him from the junior motorsports, from the Burger Five days all the way to now. He's driving the you know, Jordan 5 grape car at Charlotte in 2023. I'm like, that's my favorite shoe, man. Like, I got to get that diecast. So.
Oh, man, dude, that relationship that he's got with MJ and that kid, Bo, when he grows up, that is going to be probably the fucking coolest thing ever. All the photos of that, like, man, unbelievable. Well, Bo's such a
sharp, smart kid, man. We so we did for Barron Speedway. I don't know if you follow Barron Speedway on Instagram, but Barron Speedway built a scale replica short track in his guest room. Like it's 1/64th scale, full track. Yeah, follow him on Instagram, BEHREND. But he's got grandstands. Like, he made a mini merch hauler. It's unreal. He's got trees, everything. He's done full, like, fake broadcast coverages of his mini track. Well, he wanted to bring that to other people, so he hired us to make track mats, like the old, carpets, mats. Right?
Yeah, carpets.
Like the city street carpets. So over the past couple of years, we've done a short track, a dirt track. We just did a super speedway and a road course. And we gave Bo the road course short track and the super speedway, I think. Mm-hmm. And like he was having full on races on the floor, like, you know, he knows what's going on, and it's cool to see him. Like, he's getting old enough now where I think he can start to appreciate all the stuff. So pretty awesome.
Well, what a relationship, man. And honestly, this is the beginning of hopefully our friendship, my man. I appreciate you coming on. A lot of people have been messaging me about this one, saying, dude, nice. You got a big hitter. And I went, fucking shouts out to Harris for coming on. Where can everybody find you? You know, plug yourself a little bit.
Well, I'm Lou Creative on Instagram. Our business is Lou Creates, LueCreates on Instagram and Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. I'm on Blue Sky now. I don't know what's going on in the whole Twitter world, trying to hit everything and stay everywhere at once. I feel like I'm getting too old for new social media platforms, but I'm trying. Instagram's where I spend most of my time, and that's Lou Creative. You'll see a lot of street car stuff on there too, but then our retro meet event, I cross post a lot of stuff from that too, which is at Mustang Week every year, the week of Labor Day after the Darlington race. So, if you ever need a beach vacation after you go to Darlington, Mustang Week is the week after, so you can enjoy some cars and some rowdy action right after the Darlington Southern 500. Emily, you can find her at Emily Lou. She changed her name now, changed her Twitter and Instagram names.
Legal documents as well?
Yeah. Well, we're getting in the process. You know, we're still in that 90-day window they give you in North Carolina. So that's next up. We did just, you know, get our joint health insurance and all that good stuff. So it's real now.
It's real.
It's real now. Yeah. I mean, I've got the gold ring is on the finger.
Hell yeah.
We're locked in. But yeah, man, we're got a lot of exciting stuff coming in the new year. A lot of big projects, a lot of cool collabs, and hopefully a lot more stuff on the NASCAR merch hauler in the near future. So our website's lucreative.com. We sell a few things on shoplucreative.com. So check us out. Hit us up if you ever need anything, if you and your brand needs some motorsport style stuff, or if you need help with your motorsports brand or team, give us a call.
Well, guys, that's Harris Lou. It's been the Hot Pass Podcast. You guys can find the Hot Pass Podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. During the NASCAR season, it's Tuesday mornings for the recap and the betting recaps and everything, and then the Friday morning betting show, and then sprinkling interviews like this with your boy, Harris Lou. In the new year, we've got Jared coming on, my boy from Agency 23, and a former Stuart Haas Racing social media member. So that'll be coming on. And follow me at @FurlongEric_. I'm mainly on Instagram as well. Twitter every once in a while. But Instagram is the find the staple. So you want my daily life. I'll be working overtime this coming weekend. You can see that shit. And then the future of maybe some posts of Harris and I together meeting up at tracks together. All right, guys. That's been the Hot Pass Podcast. We'll take a week off from the holidays, and then we'll be back. And you guys can see my adventure down to Fort Wayne, Indiana next weekend, getting my back tattooed. So make sure to follow me. Thanks, Harris. Nice. And we will talk to you guys in 2 weeks. Peace.
Thank you. We'll be right back.